Hello, this is Roger Shouse, and this is Jumpstart Rewind. This is an avenue for heaven-bound podcast. Jumpstart number 1635, first written June 30th, 2016. Galatians 4, verse 11. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. I recently had a short discussion with an amazing Christian. She could write a book about the things she has been through. Her journeys would have stopped many of us. She has a powerful faith and is an amazing example to me, but she doesn't see herself this way. She is not alone. Many wonder if we are doing enough. Many feel, especially looking into the past, that we have let the Lord down. The standard of the gospel seems so high, and it seems that we fall short of it most times. We sure believe, we sure love the Lord, we worship regularly, but deep inside we wonder if we're simply doing enough. Our verse today brings us up a word that Solomon loved in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's the word vain or vanity. It means empty. Paul's use of this word was based upon what the Galatians were doing. They were trying to keep one foot in the Old Testament law while missing the benefits of being in Christ. It seemed that Paul's work didn't work. It seemed that it was a waste of time. As Paul put it, "Have I labored over you in vain?" What Paul expressed is a common feeling that preachers and leaders in God's kingdom feel. I struggle with this. Am I doing any good? We could be so busy with this and that, doing all kinds of projects, starting new things, but is it really making any difference in the lives of the people? At the end of the day, is it doing any good? A preacher works hard on a lesson. 2 weeks later, a guy who the preacher remembers sitting in that sermon asked him to preach the very thing he just preached. Am I doing any good? That preacher wonders. Is anyone listening? We look at the congregation and the choices that some make, and we wonder, am I doing any good? Another class, another sermon, yet the people seem to struggle with the same things over and over. That feeling leads to discouragement. It makes a preacher question whether it's time to move on. Being effective is important, whether one leads the congregation or one is teaching and preaching. Have I labored over you in vain? Am I doing any good? Am I doing enough? The humble servant beats himself up asking these questions. The soul was searched. What am I missing? What am I not doing? What am I not doing right? Why aren't more people excelling in the Lord? Why does it seem that some are stuck in status quo? Why can't I change them with the gospel? Why can't they see what I see? I know this feeling all too well. I know those questions. Have I labored over you in vain? Has it all been a waste of time? I've gone to bed with those thoughts. I've thought about those things over and over. If you are not doing, you wonder if you're doing any good, is it time to quit? Perhaps I've labored over you in vain. Here are some thoughts I think that might help. First of all, the next day seems to help. At night, it seems the darkest brings the dark thoughts. The sun of the next morning has a way of reminding you that God is not finished with you. A new day. A new gift from the Lord, a new opportunity, a new chance. Get through the night, the morning will help. Secondly, when one is feeling down, they tend to see only the negative things. Problems seem larger. Mistakes seem like mountains. We don't see the good. We fail to see the right things. There are lives that have been touched. There have been people who have been encouraged. Certainly we can always do more, but look at what has been done. We tend to forget that. We forget the sweet children that we raise. We forget seeing people taking notes of a sermon or a Bible class. We forget the thank yous or what for what we've done. Count your blessings. You have been helped. Even the cup of cold water that was given is noticed by heaven. There are droplets of blessings that you have that has come from your hand and your hearts that we have forgotten about or that we have discounted as being nothing, but they are there. Thirdly, we are not the only ones who feel this way. Our Galatian verse tells us that Paul felt that way. Jesus actually had people walk away from him. Are we to assume that Jesus didn't do enough? Are we to think that Jesus should have done more? We want every life to change. We want every person in that audience to leave stronger, more motivated, and more committed to Jesus. But it won't happen. Some will remain unchanged. Some will go to church for years and you'd never know it. They may never make the connection between Sunday and the rest of the week. Some will keep one foot in the world until the day that they die. This bugs us and bothers us. This makes us rethink what we are teaching and how we are teaching. This drives us to try this and to try that in an attempt to get that foot out of the world and into Christ. We will sweat blood, cry tears, but with that same foot, they will remain right where it's at. The reality is that we cannot save everyone. We will not encourage everyone. We will not make a difference in every life. We want to, but some will not invite us in. Fourth, deep inside, we know that we're doing what is right. We know what we're doing is from the Lord, and this is what the Lord wants us to do. Paul didn't quit after he wrote Galatians. He didn't say, I give up. They don't care. They aren't trying. Nothing I do works, so I'm done. No, he stayed with it. He finished the course. He kept the faith. He preached until there was no more breath in him. What he did was doing the right thing. The Lord never let him down. This compels us to keep going on. There are those days that are challenging to us. There are days that has become very difficult for us. But we need to realize that we need to keep doing what is right. Even at Sardis, a church that was called dead, there were a few that were walking with the Lord. Fifth, we must stop comparing ourselves to others. We know that Paul said not to do this, but we do. We look at other families and see what they're doing and we feel guilty. We hear what other preachers are doing and we feel worthless. We feel like failures because we cannot keep up with these people. We don't think that idea very much. I know a preacher who once told me that he had 25 Bible studies that week. I didn't have 25 Bible studies the entire month. Boy, that put me in the dumps. What a failure I felt like. It took a long time for me to crawl out of that hole. I learned that that was his gift. He was a natural at that. Some are good at planting, some are good at watering. I find that what I'm now doing is instantly hurting other preachers. They read these jump starts and declare, how do you do this every day? I now realize that some are saying this with guilt. They look and feel like that they should be doing the same thing, but the answer is no. Don't feel that way. God has blessed me with this wonderful gift. You have a gift. It's different than mine. Remember the Corinthian passage about spiritual gifts when Paul talked about some being a hand, others a foot, others an eye. We're not the same, nor do we have the same talent. I write, others can hold 25 Bible studies a week. Others connect well with young people. Others are amazing in the pulpit. Others have great insight into scriptures. Others can make you feel so loved and welcome. Others can paint a picture of heaven that's so real that you can just hold your hand out and touch it. Some families are great at hospitalities. Others don't do so well there, yet they can do other things. We must stop comparing ourselves and using others as the measure of what we ought to be doing. It will only make you feel more guilty and more like a spiritual failure. Find out what you're good at and then shine. Life's experiences all around us will affect us. Those little kids at home, they need to be raised in godly way. They don't have the time and the resources that empty nesters may have, but there's other things that young parents can do. Those who have demanding jobs can't do what retired folks do. Stop comparing. Look within and then look around. Do what you can. The rich man in Luke 16 lost his soul simply because he had the opportunity and the means to help poor Lazarus, but he did nothing. Nothing is death. Nothing is always wrong. You can always do something. Don't do what I'm doing. Don't do what someone else is doing. Do what you can do and do it with your all. You cannot do it all, but you can make a difference. Finally, when we feel like we are not doing enough, we must realize that we're not saved by the amount of work that we do. Balanced theology makes us believe that there's more good in our lives than bad, then we'll make it to heaven. That is salvation by works. It never works. We are saved by the grace of God. Our faith and our love for the Lord is what matters. You cannot do enough. You cannot be good enough. You will never deserve heaven. Those thoughts trouble us. It is a gift. It is a gift that you shouldn't get, but God gives it to you. So do what you can do. Do what you do because you love the Lord, and He loves you as well. However, when you see areas that you could be doing more, do what you can. Step it up. Take on new challenges. Don't let others determine your success. If that were the case, then Jesus would have failed. He said that there'd be more lost than saved. He said that before he ever went to Calvary. Knowing that didn't stop Jesus. He still went. Do the good that you can do. You may have a family over and they may not even thank you. Don't let that stop you. You may pour hours into a class or sermon and may not see any visible changes. Don't let that stop you. Keep doing what you can do until the Lord calls you to stop. Thank you for letting me share this with you. I hope it's helped my friend. She's incredible. It has helped me. Climbing out of the home of gloom and doom is hard to do. We sing the song, Onward, Christian Soldiers. Thank you for listening.